The Bible reading for the sermon is that which was read with special emphasis on the phrase, hope of the gospel. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for life and for faith and for keeping us in life and faith to this day. We pray now for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we can understand and appropriate the help of your gospel and enable us in our vocations to communicate its strength and its guidance to those to whom we minister. Fulfill in our lives that promise and that hope which we communicate to others. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Simplest way that I could communicate this hope of the gospel is in a clip from the movie A Dream That Wouldn't Die, which is about the beginning in the history of the Lutheran Hour. There's a time in the history of the Lutheran Hour in the heart of the Depression when it had to discontinue because it didn't have enough money. At that time, in the narration in the film, there's the description of General Knudsen, who was head of the General Motors, who said to Dr. Walter Meyer, "Our people in our country at this time are looking down too much. You get them to look up." And at that time, the camera pans up that huge, tall aerial for the radio station. And General Knudsen gives a large amount of money so that the Lutheran Hour can continue again. Now, it wasn't only that gospel of hope of the gospel, but it was that it was founded and grounded in Jesus Christ. As Dr. Hoffman said in a speech in Canada later, he said that power of this program is in Jesus Christ and his gospel and nothing else. Now there's a simple description of the hope of the gospel. First of all, it's grounded in Jesus Christ. In Colossians here, St. Paul, like in some other instances, talks about Jesus Christ as that power, that being which binds all things together in a cosmic unity which we call the universe. And up until last week when I had another hour review of quantum physics and scientific descriptions of the origin and the destiny of the universe, it's no different now or before as it ever will be. God has given an order to the universe, a natural order which is simple, a moral order, and in this text, a special emphasis and a cry to us, stay on that path of hope. Don't let any power, don't let any principality, any evil turn you away from it. It's not only that that hope is grounded in the true being and power of God in Jesus Christ, but it can also be very personal and simple. Here he's described as Jesus Christ, the head of his body, the church, a group of human beings throughout history. It can be very simple. As I was asking Pastor Thomas Hintz of St. Paul's Church in West Allis, Wisconsin, who's retiring, his last sermon is this coming Sunday. I said, what were the high points of your ministry? The one that was most dramatic and memorable to him was the account of a little boy, five-year-old Andy, who was dying of leukemia. Andy told his parents he was afraid to die. They called the pastor. Pastor Hintz called on him. He says, I said, Andy, Jesus is great and powerful. He holds you in the palm of his hand. He will not crush you. He has gone to prepare a home in heaven for you. And there all of the children of God will be, and you can be with them and you will be happy. This is the gospel of hope. It changed Andy. Andy could now smile and he could have courage. The gospel of hope is grounded in that great being of Jesus Christ who was and is and shall be, from whom, through whom, and to whom are all things, as St. Paul says in Romans 11th chapter, verse 36. in him we live and move and have our being, that any philosopher, my abstract thinker, speculative thinker can see the order of God in this, but it can come right down to five-year-old Andy, and it can help him too. It can help him look up. In fact, the hope of the gospel here is described in three different ways in this chapter. One, it's the hope of heaven. Second, it's the hope of the gospel. And third, it's the hope of glory. All of these are supernatural and eschatological, unlike so much of theology in Europe and the United States, liberation theology, which tries to ground hope on revolution. The hope of the gospel is also described in the Bible in the sixth chapter of Hebrews as the anchor of the soul. Now, the anchor was used to steer life. It has another function here. The boat would have to go through the narrows, and you remember the old symbol, you have to steer between Scylla and Charybdis, because along the sides were the rocks, and when the water would rush through there and the winds would rush through the narrows, it would tend to throw the boat against the rocks or run it aground. And the one who would steer it, we got the term cybernetics from that, and the Mals picked up that term psycho-cybernetics. The hope is to steer us to our goal, and nothing, Paul says in this text, should steer us away, or we'll be smashed on the rocks. And that we have the worry. You know, worry is a way of thinking. It's thinking in a circle, and it doesn't follow the direction. We're not to worry. We're not to be afraid, as Andy was, but we're to steer. Maul says, oh, I could straighten the noses with plastic surgery. I could make one ear longer or shorter so that they were the same length, but that didn't change the person. The thing that changed him was to know that he was created in the image of God, that he was bought with a price, that his Andy would see himself someday being with the children of God. That's what changes. But sometimes we run ashore. Our lives go aground. I was asking a head elder in the church where I was preaching recently, how is it, I said. He was telling there about, he was making these calls on people in the church. This one person was suicidal this past week. He had called on him. Well, he said, I'll tell you why. I saw the helpfulness of God. One time, he says, I had a Sunday school teacher who used to be a mobster in Chicago. His name was Larry Clark. And Larry got in a fight. His mob got in a fight with another gang, and he was riddled with machine gun bullets. And while he was lecturing to his class of boys in Sunday school, he would show the scars from machine gun bullets. He was put in prison for three consecutive life terms for murder and armed robbery. And while he was in prison, a prison ministry congregation came there to witness and befriend these prisoners. The one particular little missionary who called on Larry Clark was a 9-year-old boy. And he brought the hope of the gospel to Larry. Larry told how this boy came in there and pleaded with him and said, you should believe in Jesus Christ, Larry. You should have hope. And Larry says, this little boy cried as he pleaded to me. Larry was changed. The prison guards and officials saw it. His character was changed. His life had run aground, but here the anchor, you know, they call it credging. They take the big anchor with a little boat and take it back into the deep water when the boat runs aground. And they use a winch and they crank that boat back off the ground and it can start out anew in the deep water. And so Larry's life was changed and ours can be in those to whom we minister. Hope in the gospel. Don't let anything turn you off from that. Don't let anything turn your people off from that direction of the hope in the gospel. Communicate it. There's a veil which hides that. It says in Hebrews that that anchor goes into the Holy of Holies, that through the curtain, in the area of the curtain can hide the mercy and love of God. And it has, and it often does, and makes it God even wrathful and judgmental, adding to the curse that we already carry for our guilt, the guilt that we have and the worries that we have, adding all to it. But Jesus Christ brings the love and mercy of God there, that presence of that love and mercy of God, and that's what we're to communicate. But there's also a veil that hides our own weaknesses. I was recently reading in a psychiatry book a dream analysis chart. And if there's anything that ever exposes the wolves in our own basements, read that chart. Just as dangerous to our turning off from the direction of hope of the gospel, of all these principalities and powers that St. Paul talks about, are those evils within us, of self-destruction and mutual destruction. Stay on that direction. And finally, hope of the gospel is also the helmet of salvation. Three times here, hope is described as a hope that directs us to glory in heaven. When the pastor called on Andy, his life was changed from one of fear and dysfunction to one of hope. And even his Sunday school teacher came there and enjoyed teaching him his Sunday school lessons. And that's a way of taking away the veil and bringing in the presence of the hope of the gospel. She came and taught him his Sunday school lessons. And he enjoyed these last 20 months of his life. And one night his mother was reading to him, and a smile came on his face, and he said to his mother, waving, "Goodbye, mother." He slumped down, she yelled for the father, and he came in, and he had a beautiful smile on his face, as if he were in that journey directed to the hope of heaven. Pastor Hintz said yesterday, he's retiring from the parish ministry. The children in the Sunday school, the parochial school, presented him with a beautiful plaque, which read, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May that be our reward too, from those to whom we have brought the gospel of hope. Amen.